You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The stage is set. The destination, New York City. The field of battle, Rockin' Riley's Pub. The grand prize, fantasy baseball glory. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network's coverage of Tout Wars continues now.
We're back. Tout Wars coverage continues on the Fantasy Sports Network all day long. This show will have coverage until 10 o'clock. We'll bring some guests in here in the next hour. Tony Sincotta will be on for a majority of the day. We'll bring Cha-Cha in for the next show, Fantasy Bagels and Baseball.
Is that show still happening?
As far as I know.
I mean, today. I mean, overall, relax, Cha-Cha.
Might have gotten canceled.
I thought maybe it was preempted today because of Tout.
Yeah, I think Cha-Cha is going to join in, but the bottom line is we're going to have Tout coverage here all day until about 4:30, 5 o'clock, it looks like, is when we're going to wrap it up, and we'll go over to Corey Parsons' Fantasy Football Frenzy show, which is actually a good transition for us to make because I want to talk a little NFL here for a segment. Adrian Peterson released a Twitter statement that he was in no rush to find a new team. Now, the reason I bring this up is because there's been a lot of, well, it's a fair point. It's just a little bit of baiting people. But what I do think is interesting is that he can say something like this, where he's in no rush to find a new team. And it seems very much to me that Colin Kaepernick and his representatives don't seem to be panicking very much. But a lot of writers out there and a lot of commentators out there are potentially going to criticize NFL teams and exactly what it is that they're doing in relation to Kaepernick, not signing him, not having him on your roster. Granted, there's fewer and fewer spots that he might have a place to land, but what do you think? I personally think that the Kaepernick thing is about him biding his time and finding the right fit for himself and not a blowback league-wide on his protest from last season. What are your thoughts?
I think you're crazy. I think it's a combination of both. I definitely think there's some blowback. Some owners don't want to deal with this, and I don't blame them.
There's no doubt that there's a few teams that won't sign Colin Kaepernick.
Right, so that means there is blowback on it, by definition. But that being said, we have to remember, anybody could have traded for him, 2 years ago? He had no interest. So nothing's really changed there. I think also this, with Kaepernick, I talked with Scott about this. I mean, for a team to want to sign him as your backup, you need to be a team that runs that kind of offense. You know, where are they going to move a little bit? Not if you have, it wouldn't make any sense for New England to sign him. You have to change that offense around completely if he were to come in there.
That's right.
Because you have a drop back passer. You know, that's not going to work. Seattle makes some sense because Russell Wilson is that a mobile quarterback, so their offense would be geared towards
Carolina.
Carolina would make some sense. Dallas would make some sense.
It would.
With Dak. So I get it. You know, whether or not those owners are going to want to deal with that, that's a different story there. But those are the teams I can see going with that. Listen, I think someone should take a chance on Kaepernick. Listen, you say what you want about him kneeling for the anthem. I don't think he should have done that. I think that is disrespectful. But he's done a lot of good. His message did carry. And maybe
it did.
When you think about it, maybe that's how he had to go about it to get the job done.
Yeah.
You know, I just think I can't. I come from a military family. I can't do that.
Yeah, my brother-in-law's full-time military, so it's clearly I understand that side of things. I mean, I don't want to get into a full-blown political discussion about it, but I will say I think regarding the anthem, it is not something that I would do, but I can't possibly expect all 300 plus million people in the United States to feel the exact same way about the anthem and the flag that I do. There's going to be people that have differing opinions, and he carried it out in a manner that was a peaceful protest. Which is his right to do it. Could the Niners have shut it down? Yes.
Oh, anybody could have shut it down.
I mean, the league could have, but the league is smart to stay out of that.
I agree.
That it was a team issue. If they wanted, they could have shut it down, as other teams did in other sports about players wanting to do a protest. They told those players, stay in the locker room. We're not going to let you carry out the protest. And so be it. But as far as football is concerned, is Cap one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the world?
Yes.
He is.
but it's a lower end of that 32.
I agree. I've been pretty vocal over the last few seasons. Fantasy-wise and above that, I don't think he's that great. He's not terribly accurate quarterback. His downfield throwing, he's got a howitzer for an arm, but that's, it doesn't but really matter.
He can't throw a changeup.
That's right.
Because he keeps throwing the ball 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's a better, much better version of Ryan Mallett in that sense, where a guy can't take anything off the ball. So,
but he's athletic. He has skills. But the problem is
he did. I mean, he's this close to winning a Super Bowl. So you can't remove that from the Colin Kaepernick equation. So as much as I criticize him, I can't ultimately explain how he got this close to winning a Super Bowl.
I guess Harbaugh leaving actually hurt him.
Oh, big time.
But you look at the teams. I mean, who could use him? He's not coming to New York. That won't play.
Well, there's that absolutely was not going to work here.
Yeah, Jets can certainly use him.
And from honestly, that one is political all the way.
Right. He can't come to New York. And I know he said he won't do it again this year. That's all Pierre. He has to say that now. So and he would have a chance.
Yeah, but I believe that he won't.
I believe as well. But I didn't care that he said it. Cleveland, sure, could use him. Yeah, but I think they're going to go number one. I think they're taking a quarterback probably not number one, but number 12, which means they may not want Kaepernick there.
I don't think Cleveland needs him. There's too much going on there between Osweiler. They drafted Cody Kessler in the third round last year. I think Kevin Hogan is on their roster, who's certainly a guy that can add to a depth chart. So I think Colin Kaepernick actually kind of muddles that. I think Houston is a
Houston's
a primary
next
spot.
One, but I think it's only if they don't end up with Romo.
Correct.
Right, because I can't see the Texans going in with Tom Savage. But is Kaepernick? Do you for Houston? How have they played the past couple of seasons when they've had these so-so quarterbacks? Just don't make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Kaepernick makes mistakes.
Yeah,
so he doesn't fit in great there. They may not want that with a team that can run the ball with a great defense. They may not want a quarterback that doesn't take care of the ball.
I will give him some credit because last year he took care of the ball better than he has in years past. So in his 11 starts, he threw 16 touchdowns with 4 interceptions. His completion percentage was at 59.2%, which is basically right on his average over the course of his career. He's only had two seasons where he's been over 60% and just barely. Other numbers from last year, average yards per attempt 7.2. So he's pushing the ball downfield. That's okay. But again, that was on a horrendous team. How legitimate are those numbers? I don't know. But you know, he only threw 4 picks to 16 interceptions. So that's really the best ratio of his career.
All right. So he's not going to Denver because even if they don't get Romo, they'll stick with Semien.
Which is ironic because before last season, there was talk about Kaepernick in Denver.
I mean, it seems like Minnesota's happy with Bradford for whatever reason. Good luck there. So he's not going there. Chicago, you know,
Chicago's stacked up now. They're,
right,
they're
they just
good.
Made their deal. That's
Glennon
not going to happen.
Glennon and Sanchez are that depth chart for now.
I mean, you're sort of eliminating teams here now.
So
yeah,
what
as
I think,
far as the start is concerned, anyway.
Yeah, what I think is at play, too, is I think he is being patient. He and his representatives are being patient because I think they are looking for a starting opportunity. And there are fewer and fewer of those, as you just detailed. So we're in a position now where people are starting to talk about the blowback that he should be signed. An NFC anonymous executive came out yesterday and said Kaepernick should already be on a team. Maybe it's true, but I'm not panicked yet. As some other people have said, it will get to a point where people will start to panic and it will be real. And if Kaepernick's not on a roster in September, I'm going to be like, what is this all about? Is it collusion? Is it owners just not having the chutzpah to make a call like that?
These owners can't agree on anything. They're not.
Agree with you. That's why I don't think that's the case right now.
There was collusion. All these guys with all these criminal pasts would have never been signed. I mean, these guys always get these. Greg Hardy gets a job. There's always some owner who says, oh, no, he's going to be good for my team. I'll forget, you know. These guys have blinders on when it comes to stuff like that.
And I hear a lot of people, by the way, you mentioned the Greg Hardy thing. So a lot of people say, yeah, well, Ray Rice had diminishing skills, and that's really why he wasn't signed. I don't believe that at all. I actually do think that while his skills were diminishing, Ray Rice was still an NFL commodity.
And it was a combination of both.
Yeah, look.
If it was 7-8 years ago, Rice would have a job. His skills were diminishing. Plus, it was on video what he did, which really, really makes it where the NFL screwed
up. The reason
up.
He wasn't on a team, though, was because of the video. not because of diminishing skills. Probably. It was there's an equation there that you have to use both pieces.
The next thing you want to ask, though, is how much money do you want?
Ray Rice would have taken a veteran minimum at that point.
He was
desperate to get back in the league.
He wanted
to
get
back,
but he's not taking the veteran minimum. There's no point in getting beat up for that.
I agree. So possible slight exaggeration, but the reason he was not in the league, in my opinion, was because of the video, not because
it was the video. The fact that the NFL screwed up the punishment, so a lot of people didn't feel like he got his.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NFL it was handled poorly.
Yeah, that's when. Listen, that's
I don't
when,
think it was all the NFL.
That's when Goodell went from unpopular to pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, but it's funny how Goodell got blamed for that, even though Baltimore didn't do anything. They do a damn
thing. I know,
but that's Goodell's job.
It drove me insane at the time. I'm over it now, but it drove me insane that Steve Bisciotti, with his
got away with everything,
fake white teeth, would sit up there during every interview, sort of smiling and just saying, "Yeah, we're taking care of it. We're looking at it." They didn't do anything to punish the guy.
But this is why Goodell gets so much money, because he takes all the hits.
No doubt.
Yeah, you know, the owners don't want to take the hits.
No doubt.
You know, and but how the media doesn't go after him, or these owners, is beyond me. You know, really, because they're the ones making these decisions. And that was a joke.
It's what I said all along. You know, I know this discussion is morphing into some other things. It's what I said all along about Deflategate, and that you can blame Goodell for whatever you want, but it's so odd to me that people aren't talking about the owners who obviously pushed him to go through this crusade. And I can't pinpoint exactly which owners it was, but you could take some pretty hard guesses.
Everybody
as to
made mistakes
it.
In Deflategate. Listen, Brady did it. All right, you can't. There's also so much evidence. He definitely did it. That being said, it was a minor. If Brady just comes out right away, oh yeah, I did. I wanted a better grip on the ball. Maybe it's a fine.
That's the thing that I can never. I always waver on.
He gets a fine. The NFL doesn't want to suspend him for that. Come on. He got suspended more for the cover up than anything else.
That is absolutely true. But I do wonder if they had just come clean, what it would have been. Because I think some of those owners, which ended up pushing the crusade, would have been really ticked off as they were with less evidence than an admission. I always wonder what that punishment would have been if he had come out and said.
I think he just gets a fine. Probably it would have been a hefty fine. I can certainly see that, but certainly it's not a 4-game suspension.
Yeah, a hefty fine anyway.
Yeah, well, it's not to mention the NFLPA paid lawyer fees. It blew up when there was no reason for that to blow up the way it did. It was a joke.
Yeah,
it was an absolute joke. It was stupid.
Kraft, you know, to this day, Kraft has a reason to be angry too, because he obviously made a quid pro quo deal. He's like, all right, I'll pay this fine. I'll give him the draft pick, and then drop it, right? And then he did that, and then they didn't drop it.
I don't think New England has much to complain about.
They don't now, because they rested their 40-year-old quarterback for 4 games.
Right. And that actually worked out well. You found out how good Garoppolo is. Now you can trade for a number one pick if you want to. I mean, in some ways, you could say, hey, thanks, Roger.
Yeah, it's just it all worked out for them. You know,
it all worked out. But I thought the Deflategate was sort of a joke. I mean, I definitely think Brady did it. With all the evidence, when you think about it, the cell phone, oh, yeah, my cell phone doesn't work. But they found calls to the trainers where they never found calls ever. Mm-hmm. Until the day after the Deflategate. The fact that the ball boy, whatever you want to call him, took the balls into the bathroom. I'm sorry, did the balls have to go?
What's more damning about that is that he took them out of the officials' room without permission.
Right.
That's the most damning thing.
They did
it. I don't know that he went into the bathroom and in the 90 seconds he was in there. I released air out of all the footballs. I don't know that. That seems to be a little bit of a weak linchpin to the entire case. But what I do know is that without permission, nobody ever does, he took the balls out of the officials' room, which officials said has never happened to him.
He's not the only person doing this. A lot of quarterbacks are doing this.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's fine. You know, it's a fine, and it's really not as huge a deal as it ended up being. But back to the Kaepernick thing, and we'll tie it into the break. But Kaepernick, I'm not panicked about it yet. Yes, there is some blowback into your point about the Jets. There are teams like that are not signing him under any circumstances, but I'm not panicked yet. I think he's biding his time, similar to what Adrian Peterson says he's doing, and just trying to find the right fit. You know, for somebody
Peterson,
like,
the rumors are he does want too much money.
I'm sure he does.
That rumor's flying around right now. Until his price comes down, he's not getting with anybody.
By the way, the running back market is so soft, like based on what A.D. Lacy got and a couple of these other guys. Nobody's going out and paying for running backs.
No.
especially.
Well, it's not. We've seen the past couple of years.
Yeah,
that we don't draft him as early.
But Peterson's going to be on a team. Kaepernick's going to be on a team. That's my point. They're just,
it's
we'll
a
just
find time.
It,
you know? Someone gets hurt in training camp. There you go.
Yeah, and like of the two, Peterson is the guy that I could see being like, you know what? I'm not playing for $5 million. It's like I'm just not doing it. Kaepernick will find a job somewhere, even if he has to take less than he wants, because I think he's still young enough that he'll have the opportunity to do that. I mean, he's not super young. I mean, he's going to be 30, but so that's it. That's my thoughts on the Kaepernick thing. We'll get back to baseball after the break. Mike and George back after this. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. We're here on the Fantasy Sports Network doing Tout Weekend coverage, Tout Wars Weekend coverage. And we have with us now our first guest of the day. It's Brian Walton. He operates CardinalNation.com, CardinalNationBlog.com. You write for Masters Ball as well. And you won this very league, which you're about to compete in the draft in about an hour and a half, the 2009 NL Tout Wars Champion. So first of all, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. And it's been a while since I won, so it's about time to do it again.
Yeah, we got to get you back in the winner's circle. So, you know, obviously we've had a great time joining and sitting down with a lot of people and getting their thoughts, really. But this NL only, you've competed in it, having won in 2009. For how many years have you been competing in it overall?
I don't know. I guess this is about my 10th or 12th year, I guess.
Very nice. Yeah. So, you know, we're not going to ask you to reveal all your secret strategies, but...
Matt would.
You know, the thing about these leagues, though, George, I mean, everybody knows everybody. It's not like we're going to come in and surprise anybody with just some bizarre strategy. I know Derek Hardy's going to go after Clayton Kershaw. The only question is whether he's going to go 44 or 46 or whatever. You know, so we know one another pretty well.
Some people get annoyed, though, if you ask too much. We had a couple of guys, you ask me my strategy?
No.
So for Masters Ball, what exactly, what are your focuses writing for Masters Ball? What kind of content are you putting out there?
Well, we have sort of two focuses at Masters Ball. One is we provide projections, and Todd Zola, who's the National League champion from 2016, does those projections. And then Laura Michaels is our other partner, and he's responsible for the content side, and that's where I contribute as well. I write a column, and really, I guess I should have been a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, but I should have been, because what I specialize in is rules and making sure that folks understand that the better they are at getting rules down, getting everything documented ahead of time, the better off you are during the season and you avoid conflict. So, for example, Christian Betancourt, you know, maybe he's not going to be a star this year, but decide ahead of time, is he going to be a catcher, is he going to be an outfielder, is he going to be a pitcher, and make sure that whatever commissioner service you're using can actually accommodate that, because sometimes the things that we want to do, our IT systems don't allow us to do.
Yeah, George, you're a very big proponent of that. And stuff like that, as well as knowing the settings, knowing the rules, know exactly what your landscape is going in. You hammer that point home quite often.
Well, I think it makes your life easier. As a commissioner, the last thing you want to hear is, oh, this is not in the rules, I want to do this. What are you going to fight? Especially if you're in the league. If you're not in the league, then it's fine. You can do what you think is best for the league. But if you're playing in the league and you start setting rules, you're trying to benefit yourself. That's the last thing I want to hear. Yeah, you know, even though I know I'm not, it's the last thing I want to hear. So I'll ask you a question. What do you hear about the biggest complaint as far as rules are concerned?
I think it's the point you were just making, George, and that is that decisions that have to be made on the fly are perceived by some as being arbitrary, or they're somehow being, you know, designed to benefit someone or someone else. And a lot of times, you know, you just have to make rules go into play the next year. You know, you have to deal with a problem now and say, okay, you know, we're going to make an official rule that goes into effect next year, because if it's a keeper league, it affects guy, you know, their strategies for the year. So sometimes you have to make a call for now, and then you say it's going to go into effect next time around.
I agree. That's the way most leagues do it. I know I personally, if leagues that change rules midstream, midseason, unless if you're playing a 12-team league, if it's 12-0, people vote for it, oh, that's fine. But if it's 11-1, then that rule can't go into effect.
No. Or you have to choose, or you have to go to a different league.
Right.
Because, you
know,
there's some guys that, you know, they try to manipulate the rules.
Anybody does that, I'm gone.
Yeah, that's not
a problem. You're changing rules,
I'm gone. Same way. You can't change rules midseason unless it was something that it was a clear oversight.
But even
and
then,
you have unanimous.
It doesn't matter if it's an oversight. if one person votes against, because he maybe that person
that's what I'm saying
studied for that.
Yes,
it's not fair.
Totally agree.
Too bad. Deal
so, with it. So you do a lot of work for writing about the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals minor league system.
That's right.
As you said, it's your day job, so it's something that you're poring over quite a bit. So, frankly, give us a sense of the landscape of maybe the Cardinals' major league team this season. What your expectations there, and maybe some prospects that we could see actually come up.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun, you know, being perceived as a one-team guy. Obviously, I understand the National League well because I'm drafting for all 15 teams. But anytime a Cardinal guy gets thrown out, you know, I feel all the eyes on me. You know, it's like, okay, is he going to bid on Colton Wong or is he not going to bid on Colton Wong?
Do you find that being a problem?
No, I don't find it a problem at all. But I look at my teams. For example, after NL Labor, I looked at my team. I didn't have a single Cardinal. And so I think sometimes I accentuate the negatives because I know the warts as well. You know, I'm thinking, okay, is this the day Michael Walker's arm going to fall off or is it going to be next start? Yeah, he looks good now, but is he going to continue? So to answer your question on, you know, Cardinals, I think Carlos Martinez is a tremendous talent. I think he's a breakout kind of talent. I think Adam Wainwright's done, or not done, but he's done competing for Cy Young Awards and three ERAs. I think Lance Lynn's an interesting guy to watch because he's in a contract year and he's highly motivated to do well. And I'm not a big, you know, contract year, but I think if anybody does, I think Lance Lynn's a guy that could do it. On the offensive side, Matt Carpenter's a consistent guy. He had an oblique and tried to come back too soon last year, and that hurt his second-half numbers. But he's going to be an interesting guy in the middle of the lineup. I think his RBIs will go up, and in an OBP league like Tout, I think he's a valuable guy to have. Aledmys Diaz, second year, you know, looks like he's going to be a strong performer. There's always a chance for a sophomore slump, but he looks like the real deal.
Yeah, Cardinals are an interesting team. You cover the minor league, bro. System, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, is there anybody in the minor leagues that could help fantasy owners this season?
Well, there's an outfielder named Harrison Bader who's going to play in AAA this year. He's in the Arizona Fall League, did real well. He's a guy that could come up in the second half and potentially be the fourth outfielder. Tommy Pham was a guy who was there last year. They've already sent him down. There's a Jose Martinez, a kid that's up that's going to make the team, but I don't think he's a long-term solution. So Bader's an interesting guy to keep an eye on. On the pitching side, there's a right-hander named Sandy Alcantara. And he throws 101. Looks like he's going to be starting in Double A, but he's a guy that could get called up late in the season to help the bullpen, perhaps.
What about a name we were hearing earlier on, Luke Weaver?
Luke Weaver came up last year. They brought him up too soon. He only had one start at Triple A before they brought him up in and put him in the rotation. Interestingly enough, they brought him up ahead of Alex Reyes.
Wow.
And Weaver just wasn't ready yet, and so he's going to go down to Triple A this year, and he'll get, you know, he'll be the next guy probably in line when an opening comes this season.
As a Reyes owner in a dynasty league or two, should I be crying?
Well, I mean, you know, Tommy John success rates. You know, I mean, they're generally pretty good, but it takes some guys longer to kind of get back into the swing of things. So, you know, obviously he's done this year. The question is going to be, you know, what do we do for 2018? But I own him in several dynasty leagues as well, and, you know, just got to hold.
It's basically All-Star break 2018 is really what you'd be targeting, right?
In terms of being able to really contribute, probably.
Yeah.
The good news is he's young. I mean, he's only 20. Is he 21? 22, I guess. Yeah, he's 22 now. So, you know, if there's anything to the resiliency of youth, maybe he can, you know, be on the short end of that. I talked to him just the other day because I just came from Cardinals camp, and, you know, he's got the big, you know, the big brace thing on. And he's going to rehab in St. Louis, so he's going to be around the team and, you know, do everything he can to kind of soak it in.
Yeah.
Because he's still, you know, inexperienced in terms of major league, you know.
Now, you're in the NL only today.
I'm in the NL only.
I'm going to assume that's the same K-9. They have K-9 there, like the AL only did, or no?
Do they have what?
Scoring K-9 or on-base percentage, that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure.
Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I like it.
I like it as well. I think it adds more intriguing. You guys have OBP as well? Okay.
Yes, and, you know, the thing is, you know, how much do you modify your values and how much, you know, I look at it, and there are guys, like we're talking about Matt Carpenter's an OBP guy, but I don't completely, you know, alter my strategy. Maybe I'll bump a guy a dollar or two here or there. But, you know, or a Randall Grichuk, if you want to take another Cardinal.
I was actually going to ask you about
low
him.
Batting average, high power kind of guy.
Yep.
You know, obviously you don't want to get a whole team of those. But I don't come to the table and, you know, completely modify my strategy just because it's an OBP league.
Yeah, George has been hitting that note quite a bit
because
this
weekend. Yeah, because I was fighting a strong word, but debating with Scott Engel and Corey Parson. Those guys are crazy because it's OBP. All of a sudden they're changing everything around because it's one category. I can't draft anybody with an OBP under 310. Okay, great. You don't want a bunch of these guys, but it's the same as drafting an average guy who's going to bat 230 but hit 40 home runs. You have to offset it somewhere. But I'm not going to let one category determine my whole rankings list.
I'm with you, George.
I'm not crazy.
You mentioned Grychuk. George is sort of on the bandwagon this year. What are your thoughts, Randall Grychuk?
You know, it's interesting. I think I paid 18 for him last year, and I was disappointed with what I got.
Mm-hmm. Which was 240, 24 homers, 68 ribbies.
Yeah. And 30% strikeout rate. Yeah. You know, he's just his challenge.
141 strikeouts.
His challenge is contact with the breaking ball down and in. He can't seem to lay off. And we'll see if he's ready to take that next step in growth. I will tell you, he's a man motivated because he didn't want to be moved out of center field. You know, he viewed himself as the center fielder. So when they brought in Dexter Fowler, it was sort of like, oh, well, now we have two center fielders, not I'm the left fielder. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. But, I think he's a talented guy, definitely. And he'll, you know, he's a nice source of power. I'll go after him today as long as it stays in the 16 to 18 range. If it gets up to 20, I'm out.
Do you think center field in St. Louis is a good landing spot for Dexter Fowler?
Absolutely. I mean, you look, when's the last time the Cardinals had a true leadoff hitter?
Yeah.
Ozzie Smith, maybe? I mean, it's been that long. And you got Matt Carpenter, and he's not a leadoff. I mean, he's not a...
He just gets on base.
He's a great OBP guy, but does he take the extra base? Can he steal a bag? Well, that's not his game. But the problem is the Cardinals put him there because they didn't have anybody else with a decent OBP. Now they can put him down in the middle of the lineup, and that's one of the reasons I like Carpenter this year, because I think he's going to drive in more. Right, he drove in, what, 80-something last year. You know, he's a candidate to drive in 95, maybe even 100 runs.
I think Matt Carr's been undervalued in mixed leagues fantasy-wise so far this season.
Well, and again, because folks, you know, just look at the numbers and forget he tried to come back too soon from that oblique injury, and his second half went in the tank.
I'm going to play conspiracy since you're a Cardinals guy. I wanted to ask a Cardinals guy this whole offseason. Did they sign Dexter Fowler because they knew they were going to lose their number one draft pick in the...
No, I don't think so. I really don't think so. Now, listen, I could talk... If you guys want to hit me up for an hour, I could talk about the whole hacking thing. Because I majored in that in terms of detail and understanding. I don't think that's the case at all. I think they needed a leadoff here. They need another bat. They're losing Matt Holliday. They needed an outfielder. They need to go get somebody. And so Fowler was the guy that was at the top of the list. I think... In terms of the hacking thing, it was a mistake that Manfred didn't take away their first-round pick next year.
Right. Absolutely.
You know,
I want them to pay for whatever. What do you say? I want to pay for it right away? So what if they had no first nine picks? That made no sense to me either.
No. I think they got off easy, but I don't think the Dexter Fowler signing thing had anything to do with that.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, I was listening to a program yesterday on a different network. Yeah, I know. I was listening to a competing network, but in any event,
you'll be fired.
They were talking about Yadi Molina, who's obviously 34 years old, team leader, has been there forever. Next year, it's a mutual option, a $15 million option. I think he's been looking for some sort of extension to keep him there even longer, but it hasn't happened. Do you have any insight as to whether or not that could potentially happen? Would they, if things go south for them this year, is Yadi Molina somebody that could even get moved at the deadline?
Mutual options are pretty much worthless. I think somebody went back and did an analysis and only like 4 or 5% actually get executed.
Right. Someone's getting out.
You know, and Molina's at the point in his career where he doesn't want to stall. I mean, the Cardinals would love to stall him another year and just wait and see if the aging curve goes. But Molina's trying to put their feet to the fire, as he should. He's got the leverage now. And, you know, it's a funny thing. When he signed his current deal, which is 5 years, $75 million, $15 million a year, everybody panicked and said, oh, my God, you can't pay a catcher $15 million. Now it's sort of like, whoa, Cardinals got a nice deal.
It's funny how that works.
You know, we're talking a little bit about history and when's the last time they had a leadoff here. When's the last time a guy spent his entire career with the Cardinals? I mean, a Hall of Fame caliber player. You have to go back to Bob Gibson. So Molina means a lot to St. Louis. Pujols got away. Nobody felt good about that. I mean, they felt good they didn't have to pay the money. And so I think they'll find a way to keep Molina there. The question is whether Mike Matheny continues to want to insist to play him at catcher every day as he's getting into his upper 30s, or whether they come up with some other alternative so Molina doesn't wear down.
Played 147 games last year. It's a lot for
a 34-year-old. And he had a great season. But, you know, can he do it again? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be 35 in July. That is asking a lot, especially in St. Louis. It's hot summers there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. WBC, did you watch?
Yeah, I did.
Did you watch in the beginning, or did the games being so good?
No, I actually kind of joined along the way.
That's what I did, yeah.
Because I was in Arizona in spring training, then I was in Florida in spring training, and so I'm running around doing stuff. But as it got more exciting, you know, I got more into it.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I mean, because I was the same way. I didn't care in the beginning. Then the games, so you start. Maybe I was going to get Baseball Jones, wanted to watch the games. And I started to watch games, like, wow, this is pretty good here. And it ended up being great at the end. It was good baseball.
Yeah, and, you know, when we talk about Molina, Molina, you know, was obviously a focal point, you know, helping pull that Puerto Rican team that really didn't have any pitching, you know, just on the strength of his, you know, on the strength of his power, his star power, and his ability behind the plate. So that was kind of an exciting subplot.
Yeah, and he's been kind of outspoken since regarding comments made by U.S. baseball about Puerto Rico. I think it's much ado about nothing, but he seemed pretty upset about it, demanded an apology and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotion involved, which is not a bad thing.
I agree.
It's not a bad thing.
Doesn't bother me. Yeah, he was mad at Adam Jones.
Like, I don't think he's going to get an apology, but hey, that's okay. Yeah, take it out on him next time.
Yeah, he's not getting that apology.
It'd be fun when they play each other.
Yeah.
If so, they, I don't think they play. I don't know.
No. Well, actually, the
Yankees play St. Louis.
The NL Central, yeah, and sort of the Red Sox, but I don't know if all the teams, when the NL Central plays AL East this year, but I don't know if all the teams play one another.
I'm never going to say how the baseball works that.
So, I'll ask you one strategy question, just to throw out a player that you think maybe you're higher on than other people might be sleeping on. And sleepers are a little difficult in these expert leagues, but
yeah, there aren't really sleepers. A guy that I mentioned before that I really really like, I like Carlos Martinez, and not just because he's a Cardinal. I think you look at the top tier of guys: Syndergaard, Bumgarner, Scherzer, Lester, Arrieta. All those guys have been there. You kind of know what you're expecting. I think there's still more that can come from Carlos Martinez than we've seen.
Agreed. Well, I appreciate it. That was Brian Walton stopped by with us. We appreciate it, Brian. He operates CardinalNation.com, writes for Masters Ball. He's the 2009 NL Tout Wars champion. He's going to be competing here in about 90 minutes, trying to win a title for the first time in 7-8 years. So wish you luck. Thank you for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, folks. Fantasy Sports Network will continue Tout coverage. Tony Sincotta will be coming on with us in a little bit. So I appreciate you listening, and join us after this. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Bluda and George Kurtz here. And I win the over-under bet, George.
Technically, he came in over the...
You said 845.
Right.
Tony Sincotta's here at 837.
Thanks,
thank
Tony.
You for... That's I win it. Nothing for this, but I get bragging rights because I said you'd be here
still
before 845. So, thanks for joining us, buddy. How are you doing?
It's like old times, right? Two guys that work with the weekends all these years. Separate days, but now we're all on the same day.
Yeah, it's one big happy family. So, you competed in a draft yesterday. How'd it go?
It went good. It went good. I did the opposite of what we usually do, right? I went hard after pitching. I had planned to go in $260 to get an auction.
Let's reset. What was the style of the draft? How many teams?
So last night was a 15-team NFBC auction, and there's a prize for first place, and then second place and third place in your league, and then there's top five overall. Mm-hmm. Last year I came in ninth overall and top five overall. Came in third in the league. The top two teams in the whole overall were in my league as well. Mm-hmm. So all the same teams were in it again. I'll tell you what, I went and I was going to go pitching early, and I said I'm going to get $130 I'm going to spend on pitching, $130 on hitting. Most people spend about $180 on hitting and about $80 on pitching. So I was going to go and try to dominate the pitching, go the other way there. And I got Clayton Kershaw for $45. That was the first guy I bid on. And I was willing to go to $54 to him, so I thought it was a pretty good bargain. So I knew I was going to get him because no one was going to go that high on me. And then I followed up with Yu Darvish. And then I waited on some pitching, and I didn't get anything wild. And I was able to get closers, too, and I was surprised, a little cheaper than I thought. I get $10 for Frankie Rodriguez, $10 for Camber Derosian, and then $5 for Nefilali Feliz there. So I was able to get three closers for $25. And then I rounded out my staff. I have all strikeout pitchers. I have Lance McCullers there. I got it for $8. Vincent Velasquez for $8. Drew Pomeranz for $3. And Robert Gesellman, the Mets fifth starter, for $2. So my pitching staff is lights out. And then
you have a lot of strikeouts there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I think I have an opportunity on offense to actually have the top three home run hitters in all of baseball. I got Giancarlo Stanton, which I paid $26 for. I got, I keep thinking of Adam Dunn, but I had Adam Duvall for $8.
Same player.
Yeah, and Miguel Sano for $8. And all three of those guys there. So, and then I got some speed with Jared Dyson. So I can compete all the categories. The one category I think I'm going to be tough in is batting average with some of those bats there.
With Duvall and Sano, that's going to
hurt. So that's the one category that I'm going to have to monitor. in the past, I've won with guys like that. And what I had to do is I had such a home run lead by the All-Star break, I actually didn't play him. And you can't trade in these types of leagues, as Matt Modica was talking about. But even when I was back in the days of Adam Duvall, the SiriusXM host league, 1 year, I was up by like 30 points. And I was 50 home runs ahead of the second-place team. I tried trading Duvall back then. No one would take him. But I didn't want to cut him and help another team out that needed home runs. So I just had to leave him on my bench the whole year. And it could get into that point.
You're the closer report guy for us, George. RotoExperts.com, exclusive edge package. George is the one who's writing about closer reports. He'll do that every Tuesday throughout the year. He got his three closers for $25. What are your thoughts about those guys? It's Feliz, Frankie Rodriguez, and Campagrosian.
K-Rod is he's just not valued for some reason. This guy gets, I understand his ratios aren't going to be very good. That's what he is. His ERA and whip is, I don't think it's going to hurt you fantasy-wise, but then they're going to be kind of ugly. But he could get 35, 40 saves pretty easily, and that's what we want in a closer. So $10 for K-Rod is nice. Bedrosian, Socha scares the life out of me because I just worry that he's going to go back to Houston Street.
So in the reserve round, I picked Bailey and Houston Street.
Oh, so you covered yourself there anyway.
Yeah, so I have three of the Angels.
Bedrosian's the best guy there by far. It's not even close.
So the bottom line is, to me, with Cam Bedrosian, I waited the last two picks and picked those two other guys just in case because of Mike Socha. But the bottom line is, talent's going
to
eventually win out.
It has to.
And this kid's too good. Like, he's going to be there. And the same thing I did at second base. I got Javier Baez. And I was going after him coming in. And I wanted to pay $7. I wanted to pay. I paid $9.
Still a good price.
Yeah. And everybody's, you might not get, you won't get the pass. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? The guy might be the best player on the team, not like Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. Somehow he's going to find a way. I mean, if you're a manager, you're a general manager, your job is to put the best guys on the field and figure out how to do it.
I think what might hurt Baez is that Mad knows he can move him around. So he loves to have that. It's sort of like another Zobrist. I mean, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't argue. You want to make, if someone wants to stand on their soapbox and make that argument, he's the third best player on the team behind Rizzo and Bryant, I wouldn't argue with you. But I think Mad's going to enjoy moving him around. I think he's going to get his at-bats, but unless there's an injury that happens today, it's going to be all over the place.
We talked about him a bunch yesterday. It is curious, though. The team is so deep. You look at it now. There isn't a spot for him on paper, but you have to figure by May, he's going to have to be getting regular at-bats. He's too good of a player.
Someone will get hurt.
If John Jay and Jason Hayward are hitting under 220, there's no way they both stay in the lineup. So Hayward
moves out.
So good of a defensive player, he could play center field. And then you would put Ben Zobrist in right, Baez would play second base.
That actually makes them, you make an argument that makes the most sense now.
Yeah,
much faith in Jay.
So, and then the other option is also you could do the same thing and put Hayward in center, and you could put Chris Bryant in right, and then you could put Baez in third. So they have a multitude of options there that defensively Jason Hayward allows them to do because he's so good defensively, he just doesn't hit.
So you were basically saying you effectively handcuffed the entire Angels closer position together. What did you do with Baez?
I got Baez, and then I actually picked up the Royals second baseman for speed, DeShields.
Got it.
And I got him at the late end, too. And it's interesting because he shows some promise there. Of course, he's dealing with a concussion situation now, and who knows what the hell that could go. I mean, he should be better by opening day, you would think, but you never know.
You never know, yeah.
All right, and I got Jared Dyson. And Dyson, too, is one of the guys that's very interesting to me. Because if you look back to the days in Kansas City, every time he got on base, he stole.
Every time.
He didn't play that much. He had 35 stolen bases when he was a pinch hitter.
You look at his at-bats. He ran.
Yeah.
That's what he does. The only question with Dyson is, can he get on? Can he hit enough to stay in the lineup every day? He gets 500 at-bats. He can steal 60, 70 easy.
I was saying, all these people bidding on Billy Hamilton and getting, $25, $30 bids, I would much rather take the shot and pay $8 for Jared Dyson.
Plus, he's on a better team. He should score more runs, too. That's Seattle offense. I mean, Segura batting second, Cano third, Cruz and Seager 4-5.
We've very specifically talked about how bad the Reds will be this year and how we how we like the Mariners, which haven't historically been a running team, but now we have Dyson there, we have Segura there. You obviously have tremendous bats behind them, backing it up between Seager and Cano and Cruz. So it's a team that should be able to score a lot of runs 1-5.
Oh, absolutely. The one thing is the pitching. And I think they got enough pitchers there, and a lot of people are looking at James Paxton as a guy who's going to break out this year. I think they got enough pitchers in that roster that they're just going to keep some healthy and hope that back of the bullpen's there with Diaz. A lot of people all in on Diaz. He has all the skill in the world, but he's never done it for a whole season.
Yeah, we talked about Diaz earlier. That's one worry about him. I also wonder, I think Seattle thinks they can contend this season. So let's say he blows a couple of saves early. You know, does that hurt his confidence? Does that make the manager think, oh, maybe I don't have something here? I can see that being a problem, but I think Diaz is a top seven, top eight closer.
Okay, we'll keep talking about this and more after the break. Mike George and Tony Cincotta guesting with us for the next 20 minutes. Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're the Roto Experts in the Morning. Mike George and Tony Cincotta hanging out with us. Tony had the had an NFBC main event yesterday, auction. It was 15 teams?
Yeah, 15 teams.
15 teams. So he gave us a little taste of what his team, and for those of you, Tony Cincotta is ubiquitous on this network, and you'll hear him. He's going to hang out with us for the rest of the day today. Maybe we try to pull in some additional guests in here. But then Tony will be hosting Fantasy Bagels and Baseball. Cha-Cha joining you on that one today?
Yeah, Cha-Cha. Do you think you would ever want to hang out with some of these guys in Top Wars? Mike, be honest. Probably no one's listening.
We hung out with Craig Mish. Had breakfast with him yesterday. Seems
yeah,
like
Mish
a lovely
is,
guy.
Mish I don't great. See him as the stereotypical fantasy baseball guy.
No, he's got a nice tan going. South yeah. Florida guy. He's kind of relaxed.
Yeah, and he's a guy that like... he takes it all in. He just takes it all
that's
in.
That's what he's used to hang on the side. Just relax.
It's a nice nebulous comment that means.
I think he's here to people watch, to tell you the truth. Yeah. I don't think he has any concerns about winning a fantasy baseball championship.
Wasn't he trying hard, really? He went bananas in one league last year. Might have been the Sirius XM host.
Oh,
league.
He was ahead of Ronis for 3 weeks, and he was making sure
that
was
it,
knew
yeah.
about it.
That was it.
So, but Brian Walton's a lovely guy. We hung out with Paul Spohr yesterday.
Brian's good. Paul, does Paul date?
You'll have to ask Paul. It wasn't one of the questions that I had, but we can bring
you
it back
that,
in.
You know that?
I wasn't talking about his sex life. I'm sorry.
Do you think should I put that on my question sheet from moving forward?
Yeah. Who's
first
the
or last question, though? Do you date?
Yeah, the kid from ESPN.
Derek Carty?
Yeah, Derek Carty. Like, he was giving DFS out once. I said, dude, you ain't even 21. What are you talking about? You can't play. Derek Carty. So I said, Derek, I was interviewing him over Sirius, and I said, hey, Derek, if just in case you happen to have an untimely death during the season, who is the guy you would like to take over your team in that fashion? Nobody talks about it, Derek. Let's get it out in the open.
Yeah.
You know, some leagues actually have that, though, where you have to name... I've heard of this. It's in the Constitution.
Bequeath your will of your fantasy baseball team over to your next of kin, something along those lines.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about it?
I hadn't thought about it. I guess it'll be one of you guys.
We're getting old. I guess we have to think about this now. Thanks, Tony.
One of you guys.
Just the morbid section of the show.
Yeah, that's why he's here. It's like a think tank when you come in here. You just ask off the wall questions. Oh, our friend is here, by the way. He's about to. Our buddy's right here. Turn around. You'll see him. He might come in. With the legend Lenny Melnick, along with some other guys here. Again, that NL Tout Wars draft is coming up soon. But back to your team from yesterday. So you went hard on pitching.
Before we get there, I want to ask about NL Tout Wars.
Okay.
I used to think when I first started in fantasy that AL and NL was tougher to play, and I liked it because the field was deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have the total opposite. I think it's just luck.
I think with the minor league, you have to stay healthy.
Because there's nobody on the waiver wire. There's nothing you can do once you get hurt. Like, I've won leagues when I've lost my first and second pick because you play in a 12-team league. There's guys on the waiver wire. You make a couple trades to make up for that. Mm-hmm. But if you're an AL and NL only and you lose a couple of guys, there's nothing out there. You're done.
I'm right behind you there. I think I don't want to say it's luck because there is skill involved, but if you get 2-3 injuries, you can start looking forward to football. You're done.
Well, in that sense, then... From a strategy perspective, we talk about these guys with nagging injuries or perhaps more significant. So are you just out on somebody like David Price or Jason Kipnis or anybody else that's banged up?
Oh, it would make it tough, yeah. I would have to get a substantial discount. And it's funny you mentioned David Price. Price went for yesterday in the auction, the mixed auction I was in. He went for $7.
Oh, man. So it's out. The market's toast on him.
I'll take a shot at him for $7, though. In a mixed league, I'll take a shot at him for $7.
The problem is that he was so poor last year. I mean, not David Price.
He wasn't Price-like, yeah.
And he was getting 30, banged all over the place.
$25 million. He certainly wasn't that.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting the David, even if like I got to wait 2 months, I'm not getting the David Price that was in Tampa either.
You're probably not, no. You said something, I think it was you, so I'll apologize if it wasn't you. I was talking to different people yesterday that I actually also believe in. When we're playing in these expert leagues, you do need to take some chances.
Yeah.
That was you?
Yeah.
And I'm right there with you because everybody knows what they're doing. If you play it straight, you know, you're going to miss out on
But it doesn't mean that your chance has to be an injured guy.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you take a chance.
It's like the Javi Baez thing. Like, a lot of people wouldn't do that. Like, a lot of people, you listen to people, oh, he's not going to get enough bats, blah, 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 blah. So they want to just take no chances. They want to do things by the book. You know what? You'll have a fifth-place team.
Right. You'll have a good team. You'll compete, but you won't win it. And I think that's I agree with you. And I think that's been my problem a lot of these leagues. I always seem to have that fifth-place thing because I just play it straight. It's sort of like when you play poker and, you know, you go by the odds every time. You got to get into some all-in situations and play some coin flips here and see what happens.
Yeah, you got to play fast and loose at times, right? If you're playing it close to the vest, you're going to have a good, solid team, but no championships.
I had something happen that never happened to me before. I've been doing fantasy sports for 20 years. Something happened to me during the auction that never happened in my life.
What could happen during, I don't know.
I'm waiting in bated breath.
I'm afraid to ask.
$9 on Jonathan Scope, the Orioles second baseman.
Like Scope.
Somebody else bid $9. Same time, nobody could figure out who did it first. So we flipped a coin because neither one of us would go to 10.
That's
fun. Who got it? And I lost the coin toss.
That's a first for me. I've never seen that either.
That's so odd.
Yeah, never had that happen.
That's
Are you bummed that you lost him?
No. I could have just spent an extra buck and got him.
How
but.
Did you make up the position?
Oh, I got Javi Baez.
Yeah.
Usually the auctioneer would just have to determine who went first.
Yeah, nobody. They were like, I'm not sure. And then people around the room weren't sure either.
And what did you get Baez for?
$9.
So there you go.
Yeah, so I just
saved a buck.
I should feel better.
So that was crazy. But I thought that was a good resolution. And then we had another problem, actually.
These guys should have arm wrestled.
You think that would work?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I mean, I liked your chances against.
I don't remember who it
fantasy
was.
Fantasy baseball guys.
I mean, well, you have fantasy baseball.
What if he kills the other guy?
Can you imagine if you lost?
I would hope you would murder someone during an arm wrestling match.
No, I mean, these guys are 75 years old.
It's not over the top. Well, that's true. There's got to be an age limit on who can compete in the arm wrestling.
Guy gets mad about losing an arm wrestling match. He has a heart attack.
To do the Stallone move from over the top and twist your hat around to light the fire.
That was an underrated movie. He should have got a hell of an Academy Award for that one.
Better than Rocky.
So, do you feel like you accomplished your pitching goal of going after pitching?
Yeah,
you feel
like you nailed it? I got my pitching. The one negative, and if you're in a 15-team league, and any guy tells you he's got a great team, he's lying or doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Mm-hmm. There's always holes. I mean, last year I did well, and I nailed on the waiver wire. Here's actually where I nailed about. Because I got Gary Sanchez late in the draft off the waiver wire. Eduardo Nunez, I got off the waiver wire. I got 30 stolen bases there. So I had to be short on stolen bases because I got 30 during the year off the waiver wire. And I got Steven Wright last year, who made the All-Star team, for $1.
Yeah, you did pretty good at the waiver wire.
Yeah. So a lot goes into the in-season management. And I think I used to suffer from that when I played in leagues because I had so many teams. And now I play 3 or 4 teams, and I can manage it, and I can compete every time in all these leagues. Before I was just so overextended.
We talked to Patrick Davitt yesterday from Baseball HQ. You can catch him at Patrick Davitt. And he was talking. He went to a seminar, a conference of some sort, and I think it was somebody in the Blue Jays organization was speaking to them, speaking to the crowd. It's like a fantasy baseball crowd. And that guy's goal was like, how many people play multiple teams? He asked the whole room. Everybody's hand goes up. It's like, we got to be honest, that's not the way it works. It's like, if you're trying to simulate the management of an organization, it's like you should be focusing on one team, try to win that. He's like, anybody can have 7 teams and win one time. He's like, you really want to pare it down, you should get down to one team. Now, my counter to that would be, as a general manager of a Major League Baseball organization, you're actually managing about a half a dozen teams when you take your minor league program into account and you're trying to manage that roster, moving players up.
Plus the popcorn stand.
Right, he's general manager. He has many more things.
Yeah.
He's negotiating contracts all over the place.
I'm just saying, from a team standpoint, you're managing more than one roster at a time. You're managing the 40-man roster as your gold, sort of your gold standard, but then there's players beyond that. But in that sense, I do agree with you. Same thing with football. We've all pared down. It becomes too difficult, frankly, to work out waiver wires, and if there is the ability to trade, it's really difficult to pour through the rosters of the other teams to find matches. Don't you agree?
Yes. Yeah. I think Tony and I talked about this as well. I've pared down my teams. I'm only in three leagues right now. Maybe I'll get up to four. That's it, and I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, the trading is where I find it to be the most
difficult.
Does
anybody trade anymore?
I, you know what? It's crazy. I made one trade last year.
That's about what I made.
And at Greenwich Street Tavern League, I won the championship, but...
Was it the key? Was it the trade that put you over the top?
No, but it was a deep league. I think we had 16 teams or 14 teams, and just getting I got a wide receiver three. I can't even remember who it was, but I made the playoffs in the last day. So one game was the difference in making the playoffs and not making the playoffs, and then I ended up winning the championship.
Yeah, but no one trades anymore because everyone's afraid of guys like you. We get to yell at them, make fun of you. Oh, you're an idiot. Why didn't you contact me before this? That's just like all of us. We do the same thing. And no one likes to trade anymore. When we first started playing, that was the most fun part of playing in the league, was making trades.
2 hours down, 1 hour to go on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Join myself, George, and Tony in hour number 3 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.